We are back in Matthew chapter number 13. We are looking at the next parable in Matthew chapter number 13, which is the parable of the one pearl of great price. Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 to 46. Look with me there. The Bible says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for your truth. Lord, we thank you for the mysteries, Lord, that you reveal to your people and to your church. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of knowing the truth. We pray that you would encourage us tonight in your truth, in your word, so that we would be the servants and the people you would have us to be. Lord, keep us, we pray, from not appreciating, Lord, the gift of the Christian life that you've given us. Help us, dear Lord, to honour you as a result of honouring your word this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, the parables are, of course, we see a theme revealed in the parables. Remember, the first four had a lot to do with the subject that we're looking at on Sunday night, which is apostasy. Remember, the Lord taught about how his work will build, but also there'll be a false work building at the same time. The Lord didn't want his disciples to be deceived in thinking that everything that happens is Christianity. He wanted them to know that the devil is at work, there's apostasy taking place. And then in the next two parables, the Lord took his disciples aside, as we saw in verse 36. He sent the multitude away, and they went into a house, and his disciples came unto him, and he explained the parable of the seeds and the tares and the wheat, and then he went on to teach another two parables. Now, the last parable we looked at was the hid treasure, there in verse 44. Now, you remember we looked at the fact that the treasure that's hid in the field is, in fact, the peculiar treasure of the nation of Israel. And the Bible says that Israel is God's peculiar treasure, and it was a prophetic parable. Christ was teaching his disciples that this is his plan and program for the church age. And it is a mystery revealed, because remember, the Jews were meant to be God's people, but they were hid because they did not seek to follow the Lord. And when Christ came, he set them aside. He put them on the shelf, literally, and they're still on the shelf. They're in unbelief, as the Apostle Paul says, but for a time. So they are hidden away. And then the Bible tells us there in verse 44 that the Lord represents the man who sold all that he had. He gave all that he had to buy the field. What is the field? The field is the world. And Christ set Israel aside as a nation, and then he died on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. I'm going to move this here so I don't have to shift around too much. Now, that remembering that will help us to understand the next parable. Because again, many people say the parable of the pearl is a parable that is about someone who finds salvation, gives up everything that he has to be saved, and then rejoices in finding that treasure. But again, we have a problem in the fact that Jesus Christ, or the gospel, if it represents the pearl here in verses 44 to 46, well, it's not hid among other pearls. The gospel isn't one treasure among the pearls, and we cannot buy salvation. This one here, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had. We cannot buy salvation. So I disagree with the idea that this parable is talking about someone that finds salvation as a treasure. Of course, salvation is precious. But remember, Christ is the one that comes to find us. Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." And that's us. He comes seeking us. We don't find him. He finds us. And then he brings us the gospel. And it's the Lord, again, here in this parable, is the merchant, the man, who finds the pearl of great price. Now we know the Lord paid, once again here in verse 46, he went and sold all that he had. That describes the fact that Christ gave everything, amen. He shed his holy blood to pay for the sins of the world. But the question is, what is this one pearl of great price? Now, we know the treasure that was a peculiar treasure in the previous parable was the nation of Israel. But what is this one pearl of great price? Now, look at the word one. That's important because the word one is telling us that there is one item or one entity, if you will, that Christ paid for. What do we read in the scriptures? What did Christ shed his holy blood for? He shed it for us as individual sinners, but then as a collective group of saved Christians, and we will one day be in heaven together as a collective group. Today, this evening, we are a local group. What are we called? The church, that's right, the church. The Bible tells us, in fact, to the Ephesian elders, the Apostle Paul wrote, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's what he said. And Christ purchased the church with his own blood. So I believe the pearl here of great price represents the church. The church. Now remember, today, the church is visible. It's local. That's what the word church refers to in the present church on earth. Some people get confused and they think there's some sort of an invisible universal church that every Christian is a part of, and we just float from one church to the next and we can all work together as one big family. The Lord wants his people to work together, to love one another, if they believe the same thing, amen. Yes. Of course, we know that because of Sunday night studies. But the church in heaven, which is the future, is referred to as a collective group. Notice there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10 in your notes, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And so we see that there will be a great meeting of the church, and we will be one day, amen. That is to come in the eternity. We are going to be one united church. The word church means assembly, by the way. That's what it means. An assembly of believers. Every single born-again Christian is saved. But remember, Christ died for the church, the Bible says. Gave his blood for it. And the Lord's plan and purpose is more than just to save the individual sinner, but to bring those sinners into a collective group, amen. And this is the precious pearl of great price, I believe, here in this parable. That is the mystery, remember, that was unknown to the Jews. The Jews had no idea, the disciples had no idea that Christ's program no longer involved the Jews for the moment. It has now come to the church age. And Christ is preparing his disciples for the church age, and he's telling them here that he gave his all for one precious pearl of great price, and that is the church. We're not talking about the universal church. We're talking about the collective believers that one day we will be united in heaven. Amen. There won't be any more Coastline Baptist Church. We'll be meeting over here. They'll be meeting over there. We will all be one. Amen. That's to come. And Christ here teaches us some lessons which are a great blessing from the pearl. Why did he use the object of the pearl? Oftentimes in scriptures, the Lord uses the ant as an example, the bee as an example, the sloth as well as an example. Here we see the pearl. The Lord used the object of a precious pearl to describe his work in the church. So here are just some blessings, some lessons to learn from this parable. There in your notes, the pearl. What can we learn from the pearl as compared to the church, the mystery of the church? There in your notes, Roman numeral number 1, the pearl is the product of suffering, of suffering. And those of you who know a little bit about pearls and oysters will know what that means. Your first blank is the word suffering. But let me explain. A pearl when it is formed, has anyone ever seen a pearl inside an oyster shell before? So a pearl, when it is formed, some of you may have just seen it in pictures, doesn't start off as something precious. It starts off as a foreign matter, maybe like a grain of sand or a fish bone, something that gets caught in the soft flesh of the oyster and the mantle of the shell. And this piece of sand, for example, irritates that oyster. It irritates it, and as a defense reaction to it, it responds by coating that grain of sand in its saliva, or a substance called nacre, which is basically saliva and calcium. So slowly but surely, that same substance coats the inside, you know, the shiny substance that coats the inside of the oyster shell, begins to coat that grain of sand. Slowly but surely, that pearl is developed within the oyster, and the pearl is in fact a product of the oyster's suffering. That object is a foreign matter. And what we can learn from the pearl as compared to the church is that the church was also born out of suffering. Amen. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that bought the church with his very own blood. There in your notes we see the sufferings of Christ in Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And we need to understand that what we have in the local New Testament church is precious. Amen. And it was the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed so that we would have what we have this evening, a product of his suffering. You know, sometimes we take our church for granted. We take our salvation for granted, don't we? And we forget it's because of his suffering, because of his shed blood, because of his agonies of the cross. Why did the Lord say to his disciples, "I want you to do this in remembrance of me"? Remember my broken body. That's an ordinance of the church. Remember my shed blood at the Lord's table. Why? So we'll remember the great price he paid. Yes, for us as individuals, but it's for the church, isn't it? To remember his sufferings. You see, the pearl is the product of suffering. We have a free place to come to, a free privilege to meet. But let's not take it for granted, amen. Because it cost the Lord everything. It cost him everything, as the parable says. He went and sold all that he had and bought it. He bought it with his precious blood. There in your notes, Roman numeral number 2, the pearl is formed from something worthless. Amen? From something worthless. Hey, I have my rights in the church. Well, hang on a second. The pearl, the church, is formed from something worthless. There in your notes. As we mentioned already, a piece of sand gets into the oyster, is lodged in there. It could be a piece of fish bone or a bone fragment from a dead fish, a foreign particle of matter. But it's not a pearl. It's something worthless. It's a junk. And yet that grain of sand is changed into something precious. The Bible tells us, as I've mentioned already, Christ said, "I've come to seek and to save that which is beautiful." Is that what he said? No. That which is lost. And we are indeed a privilege to be part of Christ's church, because we are simply lost, wretched, depraved, wicked sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. Amen. Let's not esteem ourselves above what we really are. We ought to, amen. We ought to lift up Christ, and we ought to say, "Hey, we don't deserve what we have. We don't deserve. We, in fact, if we did get what we deserve, we'd be in big trouble." Thank God for His grace, giving us what we don't deserve—eternal life, the free gift. What a wonderful joy that we have! The Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." That means that we were completely unable to save ourselves. In fact, completely unable to seek God. He had to come and seek us. We were the ones rejecting Him. He came down to us. We didn't go up to Him. He came to us to save us. And thank God for the gospel. And as I think about the pearl that's formed from something worthless, and the pearl representing the church. The church is a spiritual organism. That's a good way to describe the church. Sometimes we think it's a business or a company or a club, and we have members' cards. No, it's not. Our unity is spiritual. It's not physical. It's not emotional. It's not based upon race or color or language or food, likes or dislikes or sporting likes, God forbid. It's based upon a spiritual unity in Christ. Amen. As a local New Testament church, a spiritual organism. And when we think about the fact that the pearl is formed from something worthless, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful that God will allow sinners like you and I to serve Him, to be called His church, amen? The church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And instead of saying, hey, we deserve our rights in the church, and I have a right to do this or to do that, or I want my way in this area or that area, well, we should be indebted to God, amen, that He would save a worthless sinner like me and allow me to serve Him and allow you to serve Him. We should want to serve the Lord with our lives if we really understand how worthless we are and how great His love is. And, you know, sometimes as pastor I get a bit worried when I'm afraid to ask people to serve, you know. Sometimes I worry maybe I'm asking them too much. And, you know, that's really an insult to the Lord if that's the kind of attitude we have. Oh, sometimes, to be honest, I don't want to push people away, so I'm worried that I might ask them to do something that they're uncomfortable with, and I shouldn't have to worry like that, should I? That's not spiritual either. We should be saying, hey, let me do something. You should be keen, amen? And if we are keen, that will spread, as we heard on Sunday night. As we grow in faith, our faith will exhort others, lift them up in faith to step out for God. And we encourage your church family to do that. But as we realize how worthless we are and what Christ has made us, what He's making us to become, what we will be one day, amen, perfect in heaven, His church, His bride, amen, we need to say, thank you, Lord. Lord, help me to serve you. The pearl grows gradually there in Roman numeral number 3. That's your next blank. You know, it does take time to grow. In fact, it can take the creature inside the oyster up to 3 years to produce a pearl from a grain of sand. That's a long time. It's not instant. It takes time. And as we look at the application to the church, well, Christ is building His church. Amen. Christ is building His church for over 2,000 years. The Holy Spirit has convicted the lost, brought the lost to repentance. The Bible says, as Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Christ is still building His church. Amen. He's still building. Now, despite what we see around us, we believe that His word is true. Amen. Just like the pearl inside the oyster, the church is growing, it is building, it is beautiful, and the Lord is doing His work. Sometimes the Lord adds to the church numerically. Sometimes He builds the church internally, from within, builds the Christians from within. And sometimes we may not see a lot of growth numerically for a while, but that doesn't mean the Lord has stopped His work. Amen? No, He's still working in us for His good and perfect pleasure. And we need to realize that God's work will be done. God's will be done. And His will needs to be done in the church. It is building. And of course, when the fullness of time has come, the bridegroom will come for his bride. Amen. And we will meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we need to continue to grow, continue to keep our eyes on the Lord. You know, numbers is not everything. In fact, as we learned from the previous parables, what did we learn? We learned that there's great growth, huge, astounding growth. But the Lord taught that it's not all genuine spiritual reality. It's in fact a deception, a great deception. So don't be thrown off by numbers. Amen. The Lord is building His church. He's doing His work. And we need to stay faithful, because the Lord is working with eternity in mind. Not just next Sunday, not just this year. That's our focus, eternity. Lord, help me just to be faithful in the long run. Now, let's go on to point number four. The pearl is also a valuable object. Valuable. Valuable. Now, pearls can be worth a fortune, can't they? If you've ever looked in a shop and you thought, husbands, or you want to buy your wife something that's made of a pearl or a pearl necklace or earrings, genuine, they're not cheap. They're not cheap. Why? Because they are valuable because of how long it takes to grow them inside the oyster and harvest them. Scientists say that one natural pearl can be found in every 10,000 oysters. That's one of the reasons why they're so expensive, and that's why a string of pearls, a necklace of pearls, can be worth up to millions of dollars. And as we think of the pearl, the one a pearl of great price that the Lord bought with His own blood, the church, we realize also that the church is precious to God. Amen. The church is valuable to God, made up of saved, baptized sinners, added to the church, the local New Testament church. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18, what is the price that God paid, that Christ paid? For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's the payment He paid. Amen. To buy our salvation, to purchase our salvation. And that's the most valuable payment. Amen. One statement was made that I read recently that heaven was bankrupt when Christ came to earth. Why? Because He is the most precious one. He is the most precious one that left the glories of heaven to come down to this sin-cursed earth, the precious Son of God, the Lamb of God, the precious Lamb that was slain on the cross. And the church is precious to Christ. Amen. It's precious. He purchased it with His own blood. And the Bible also reminds us that the church is precious to the world. The world may not know it, but God's people, as a local New Testament church and local churches around the world, are a restraining force to evil in the world. How do we know that? Because when the rapture takes place, all hell breaks loose. Christians are gone. The witness is gone. The light is gone. It's removed. And then judgment comes. And that tide of evil will very quickly spread over the entire earth once the rapture takes place. Why? Because the church is precious. We have a precious function to play in our community. Amen. The church is, well, for us and for our children, it's the place where they learn about God. Amen. It's where they learn about the Lord. That's why Sunday school is so precious. I mean, encourage you to encourage the Sunday school teachers and encourage the children that go to Sunday school. That's where they learn about the Lord. They're not going to learn that in their school. They're not going to learn that in public school, in this school. They're not going to learn that. They're not going to learn about the Lord, about the gospel. They're not going to learn about the God of their salvation. And it's here that they learn what true worship is, how to live for the Lord. Not only how to be saved, but how to live for Him. My friend, the church is precious to God. It's precious in the world. And isn't it worth any sacrifice, any price for us to serve, to pay, to pray? You know, we need to pray for our church. We need to serve in the church. We need to witness from the church. And we need to be involved. And look, I'm not saying the church replaces Christ, but the Bible tells us that he bought this precious organism, entity, with His own blood. That's how precious. Amen. He loved the church and gave Himself for it. And so we need to also love what Christ loved. Is it worth our time and sacrifice? And it should be more precious to us. Lastly, the pearl is a thing of immense beauty. Of immense beauty there in point number five. This is the last point. It's a precious item of immense beauty. That's why they're so valuable. Not only because of how they're produced, but in fact because of their beauty, their radiance. You know, pearls are beautiful. They're beautiful to look at, to touch, I think. I don't know. but I've never held one before, but they look beautiful. That's right. And have you noticed the reflection of light of a perfect pearl? You know, is a thing of beauty. In fact, the luster, the radiance of a pearl, in fact, reveals how expensive or valuable it is. And the church also ought to be a beautiful thing. Amen. The Lord said, ye are, collectively, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are commanded to shine. You know, the golden candlesticks there in Revelation 3 and 2 and 3, that represents the church. That's what we ought to be, a bright and shining candlestick. We are meant to be beautiful to the Lord first and foremost. May others see the light within. I wonder what people see when they come to our church. You know, when they see us outside this meeting, I wonder what they see. What do they see when they come? Do they see dullness? If they see dullness, well, that reveals what we think about the Lord and about the church and about His work and what He's doing. They ought to see brightness and joy in our hearts. Amen. When we meet together, if any visitors come, praise God. And if they do, they ought to see a joy in our hearts. Amen. If we're dull, there's something wrong. Because the Lord gave His all for the one pearl of great price. Something that ought to be beautiful and gleaming. Well, I think we've seen enough of what the Lord thinks about His church. Amen. And all that He's done for it. And no doubt we know that the Lord has a high place for the church in His heart. But if we are saved, we need to do all that we can to make sure that we honour the Lord in the church. Amen. That we do everything we can to make sure that our local New Testament church glorifies God. That it stays valuable to Him. Amen. Doesn't corrupt through false teaching. It's not damaged. Amen. And we do our part and do our utmost to serve. You know, don't be afraid of giving your all for the Lord. Because you can never go wrong. You know, you can give your all to the devil and you'll suffer immensely for it. But you give your all to the Lord, He will, amen, He will bless you. And you'll see the preciousness of the Christian life. Let's let the Lord help us to be all we can be as Coastline Baptist Church, amen. And encourage others in our church to do the same.